Welcome to the Film Vault. That is Anderson. I'm Brian Bishop. We're your hosts. Today on the Film Vault, top five directors you've broken up with, directors you were once in love with, you had a relationship with, you've fallen out of love, you've broken up. No more, says you, to this relationship you once had with these favorite directors from the past.
Now, the way that Logan set it up on Facebook, though, I actually looked on Facebook today for the first time.
We have a lot of Facebook responses, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Facebook page, you can find 3AndersonAndBrian.com.
You can find 3AndersonAndBrian.com?
What? Facebook page you can find through AndersonAndBrian.com.
You spoke quickly.
Yeah, sorry about that. Sorry about
What I was saying, Brian, is
you checked it out for the first time.
My email is always sending me alerts about Facebook.
Oh no,
the site that I never go to.
Okay,
and I am too dumb to figure out how to do that to make it not do that anymore. So I was getting so many this week that I decided to go on Facebook and see what everyone was chatting about with the Film Vault.
Okay,
yeah, a lot of responses to this week's episode, which I appreciate. However, I saw the way that Logan phrased it, and it's directors you used to love and now you hate. And I don't hate any of these directors.
Okay, films maybe of theirs you hate, or hate where their career's gone.
Greatly disappointed,
sure,
is the best way to describe it. I'm wondering if we're going to have any crossover. I hope not.
Possible.
I really hope not, because I'm tired of it, Brian.
Possible.
You know what it does to me when I realize that you and I have same thoughts about things?
Warms your cockles?
Hurts.
Warms your cockles?
Cools the cockles right down.
Cools them.
Cool cockles.
Douses the cockles.
I can also tell you this, guys, boys and girls. I am very excited about Flick Fashion this week. I have a movie that I've not been this excited about a movie since Sin Nombre.
Enemy Yours.
And that's not it.
Okay.
Not Enemy Yours. But after that, the show is going to be pretty much dud. Tune out. But stick around.
Why?
Stick around for the first segment.
Why is the show going
to
be a dud?
Because I'm a little off. I'm a little tired.
Oh, buddy.
If I ask you to carry the show, we're all in trouble.
I know. It's bad times. You know what, though? The good thing about us both being tired a little bit? Punchy.
A little punchy, yeah.
A little punchy.
But I kind of get like to that point where I'm like, what am I talking about right now? Oh, yeah. And, you know, this show, it's only once a week, Brian, and it's gold for the most part. You know, it should be savored.
We do have listeners asking us for more than one show
a week.
And
it's disappointing to me
when
we're not both on top of our game for this once a week. You know what I mean? It's upsetting.
I appreciate, you know what, though? Yes, but glass half full. I appreciate that we hold each other and ourselves to such high standards.
It's getting creepy and gross. Let's move on.
Before we get to Flick Fashions, Logan handed me a piece of paper upon walking in.
He always does, Logan, every fucking day. And I'm like, every time we're in here, he hands me a piece of paper. I'm like, what is this for? I've never looked at his rundown.
What?
You do all the business.
I steer the ship.
I love it.
It's true. But then Logan handed us a different piece of paper that you have right there underneath. Logan's in film class. What is the name of your class?
It's called Language of Film, but it's the study of the visual elements.
If you are a film professor, are you by definition a hipster?
Ooh, how can you not be?
How could you not be, right?
You know what?
I got a new hipster move for you guys, since you all call me a hipster, and I'm trying to embrace it and just go with it.
Yep.
Here's my new thing. What, you want me to look at a video? It's on YouTube. I don't watch YouTube.
Mainstream.
No, I don't watch YouTube. I refuse to ever watch another YouTube clip.
Wow. No,
if it's on YouTube, fuck that.
I want to watch it on Vimeo.
Is there another one? Because that's the one that I want. I want to watch everything.
Vimeo's sweet. YouTube.
I'm down with Vimeo, but is there a third platform where they show videos?
I'm sure there is. There's plenty of them. But
I only watch
Doug. I only watch Google videos.
I only watch downloadable AVIs. Can you send me a link?
Someone just tweeted me, and it may be fixed by the time this episode airs, so it might be a moot point. But he used to say, they're like, have you checked out your Wikipedia page? It used to say, went to high school with Tom Brady, and now it says something like, went to high school with Tom Brady, who taught him how to be so smug. Something like that.
Oh, he taught you, or you taught him?
No, he taught me. And my response was, how do you know I didn't teach him?
Speaking of the N-word.
What?
Yeah. Out of the blue. Didn't see that coming, did you? I have a new little project. Have you seen it? Have you seen my new little short?
No.
That I threw my heart and soul into
week
and a half.
Did you post it somewhere?
I did, but I didn't really yell from the trees about it. I'm doing it right here. Right now, instead of a picture, because we both look like shit.
No.
Your picture being taken and put up on the internet.
I just don't like your videos being put up.
I don't like your mouth talking over mine right now. We are going to put a picture and the link to my video, which is called The Talk.
Why don't we put it on the homepage?
Or a sex talk over cuttlefish.
So we'll
does that whet your appetite?
It's better. Yeah.
A sex talk over cuttlefish.
But don't you want it to exist for more than a week? Like, you want people to be able to view this thing in perpetuity?
I want it to be at the top today. Because people are going to like it. It's
Logan,
2 minutes.
Don't make it the
picture. 2 minutes and it's sweet. Wait, you haven't even seen it yet, okay?
I want to see it.
You're going to enjoy it. You're going to enjoy it. Okay, well, I'm going to turn my back to the camera out of protest.
What about Vimeo?
I'm going to turn my back on the camera.
This would be a great moment when people see the picture, like, why is Anderson's back turned? And they get to this point in the podcast.
A sex talk over cuttlefish is I uploaded on Vimeo. We'll have a link for it. It's on both. It's on YouTube and Vimeo. But Vimeo is prettier.
Anyway, Logan's assigned list of films he has to see.
Are we really
many have
this?
Not heard of. No, no. Just, Logan claims to only have heard of a handful of these films. Mm-hmm. For some reason, The Outsiders is on here.
Who is Van Sant? I've never heard
Gus
of Van Sant. It just says Van Sant, though.
Gus Van Sant. It's the super pretentious thing where they list the auteur by last name only. For example, it says Coppola, comma, The Outsiders, 1983. Mm-hmm. Van Sant, comma, Elephant, 2003. You have to watch a Kurosawa film.
Elefante.
Hitchcock film. Another Kubrick, two Kubrick films. You have to watch the Chowski Brothers Speed Racer.
Okay. What the hell? I was hoping you were working up to that and that'd be the punchline, like all these like Tour de Force movies and like.
Yeah, what? Miller's Crossing is on here. Orson Welles' The Trial is on here.
Clockwork Orange, you already said. And then.
Then the rest are all subtitles. Brian doesn't know what they are.
That's
then,
right.
Speed Racer?
I'm not going to read my goddamn movies.
You know, a little known fact, Johnny Depp was originally slated to play Speed Racer.
In this version?
Yeah.
In the 2008?
He would have been way too old, too.
Yeah.
It's called CGI. Have you heard of it?
Yes, sir.
Have you heard of it? Speaking of which.
I'm vaguely familiar with CGI. What's that?
When you take your picture, much like Mike Carano asks us to do on the other show, can you please CGI out my double chin? Thank you.
I had a rough double chin the last couple weeks.
It's from all the booze you've been drinking.
I know. Wait a minute. What?
I'm clean and sober. Clean and sober. Okay, we talk about movies here.
Logan, good luck with your class.
On Logan's list. Have you seen any of these movies, Brian?
Yeah, I've seen a handful. Of course, I saw The Outsiders.
I'm
going to
say two.
And that's it. That's not Clockwork Orange. And shit, is that all I've
seen?
Don't
look now, Brian.
I did not see Speed Racer.
Don't look now?
No, I don't know what that is.
Enjoy autofocus.
Oh, I never saw autofocus.
A lot of beating off. There's a scene where he and his buddy are just watching porn, having a conversation, and beating off. Like it's like drinking a cup of coffee. Enjoy that. Greg Kinnear beating off with Willem Dafoe. Enjoy.
With that, Flick Fashions.
Yep.
We start off every show that we start off today with Flick Fashions, the confession of the last three flicks we've seen this week. Anderson?
The best part of this episode.
I'll let you go last then in that case.
Yeah.
I saw... Not only did I see this movie, I saw it on a wonderful viewing experience in a theater here at the Westside Pavilion Mall where they have
it's local.
The,
I don't know what you're talking about.
I know,
about.
But they have the couches. They have leather couches. They have, like, it's a leather couch there. There's no like seats for
this
theaters.
This is the theater we've already gone on at length about how I banned it. I hate it.
Oh, it's fantastic. You got to go back, buddy.
Oh, it's awful.
Oh, no. They have leather seats.
Covered in semen. Yeah.
They do now after I saw the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Enjoyed that, apparently.
Very much so. Actually, I'll be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to bare my soul. I had a semi, I don't know how to call it, quasi-sexual, quasi-religious.
What?
I had a moment during this movie. And it's not what you think. It was very early. During the title sequence.
The cat?
The fucking title sequence of this movie. We could spend a good 5 minutes talking about it. Mm-hmm. It was unbelievable. It blew my fucking balls off.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You've seen this movie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's fucking incredible.
It was good.
Not the movie. The title sequence. It was unreal. It
Fincher's,
made love to my
Fincher
eyeballs.
Does
while
Panic Room
raping my ears?
Panic Room's opening title sequence was very good too.
All of Fincher's opening title sequences are great. Fight Club is fantastic. Seven's great.
But go on, explain more about why. I think that could have been part of the problem too, because the rest of the movie was just kind of it didn't live up.
It did not live up. This was the high point of the film, which is kind of an odd compliment to give. I think it's a good movie. We'll get more into it in a second. But the title sequence is over a Trent Reznor remix of a Led Zeppelin song with the chick from Yeah 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 singing
Seven.
Vocals.
Remember the intro for Seven? The opening title sequence for Seven.
That's right. That was a Nine Inch Nails song too.
That was.
This is a remix of The Immigrant, or is it Immigrant Song or The Immigrant Song? I think it's Immigrant Song. Regardless, Anderson, I figured out how to get it streaming through my TV because I have Apple TV. Mm-hmm. I should have got a goddamn Roku, but I have Apple TV. Mm-hmm. I've watched this intro in the last week 10 times.
I like to see you be
10 times.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
We got our top five title sequences.
We should do that one day.
We absolutely have to.
You know what number one's going to be for me?
This one.
I don't know.
I don't know. What a tease! Yes, the fantastic.
Actually, it came out this year. It would have to be Gaspar Noé's Enter the Void.
Wow.
Holy fuck. I actually watched that about 10 times before I saw the movie.
You know what this reminds me of? My passion for this reminds me of back when you first seen Gangs of New York, mm-hmm. and you kept playing the intro
music. Challenge.
That's it. On My Challenge. You kept playing that over and over again. That was your lead-in for Loveline for a good 6 months.
Still is. It has been for about 8 years since the movie came out. I'm still here. On My Challenge.
I cannot get enough of this. I'm probably going to go home and watch it tonight.
For good and all.
I'm going to go home and watch that shit tonight.
Over the 5 points.
Anyhow, The Girl, the director of that too, directed by David Fincher, written by Steve Zaillian, who I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago, a famous screenwriter who wrote Schindler's List, Awakenings, Mission Impossible, right. Gangs the in
movie,
New York.
The movie was
real gangs.
Very pretty, looked good. Not very all I'm going to remember from this movie, unfortunately, once again, is rape and Swastika Kitty. That's pretty much all I'm going to remember from this movie. Swastika Kitty and rape.
Kitty.
The rest of it, and I saw the original, and I don't really even remember, like watching the remake, Fincher's remake, the girl and I both saw the original, and we both were sitting there going, I don't remember any of this shit really from the original. I don't like either one. Don't read books. So let's move on from Dragon Tattoo, everybody.
No, I have a couple of thoughts I want to mention.
Let's settle down.
I'm not going to give any spoilers away, but I will allude to plot points.
Well-made movie, though.
Maybe fast forward 60 seconds if you are highly avoiding.
Swastika
Kid. But there's nothing I'm going to give away about the plot. Mm-hmm. Okay, two problems with the film, specific problems. Well, first of all, I've now seen Daniel Craig get tortured in two films. The song that's getting played during Daniel Craig's torture sequence is distractingly bad.
I saw it 3 weeks ago, so I don't remember.
Okay, the song they played was distractingly bad, and it was almost like a way too obvious joke, like a kind of hacky joke, like someone put in a student film. Like it was distractingly bad. And
was it stuck in the middle with you?
It was way worse. Way worse. And it took me out of the scene completely. It was a tense scene, and I was like, is this supposed to be a joke? Am I supposed to be laughing at this?
Brian,
and
we want listeners to still be around when I get to my flick fashion because I'm going to talk about one of my favorite movies in the last few years. So let's speed through a Swastika Kitty movie.
Sorry, second problem.
Sorry about that.
Casting.
That chick with the dragon tattoo, no good.
There's a actor revealed to be a villain who you don't know is a villain at first.
But you do.
But he's the guy who always plays a villain.
Yeah, he's that guy, that villain guy.
But it's a minor role at first, but it's a major actor, so it's distracting. You're like, what? This guy must be more significant than they're letting on. So I feel like they could have cast an unknown and gotten much more bang for their buck. I think that was two very specific problems that took me out of the film.
I'll send an email to the casting director tomorrow on your behalf. The girl who kicked the dragon nest.
The dragon nest.
The hornet's nest. The girl who kicked the hornet's nest.
The fire hornet's nest?
Yes.
I also saw top five or nominated for 5 Oscars, by the way. Best actress.
You know, I don't want to sound too pretentious here, but this year cinema took a step backwards.
Agreed.
Feels like cinema took a step backwards this year. A lot of nostalgia. Like, remember when we used to make movies in black and white and silent? And remember when this guy did that? And look, we're making movies here in Hugo and
the, as we get down to the end of the year, I'm starting to realize The Artist is one of the 5 best movies of the year. No? We'll talk about this in a couple weeks.
Vaulties.
On the Vaulties.
What are the Vaulties?
The Vaulties in 2 weeks is our version of the top 5 movies of the year. We'll name our top 5 films of the year, and we've been doing it now for a couple of years.
We put 2011 to bed, and it is the list that everyone follows.
Yeah, exactly. But by the time the Oscars come around, it's kind of like, well, why go after the Vaulties? You know what I mean? But that's their choice.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They know our schedule.
That is their choice.
I also saw, speaking of the Oscars, The Ides of March.
Hey.
Directed by George Clooney, your boy. Also starring Clooney, Ryan Gosling, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and Paul Giamatti.
Gosling's my boy, too.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Gosling's fantastic.
Yeah.
Philip Seymour Hoffman and Paul Giamatti, first time in a movie together, by the way. Two great actors. As I was watching them together, not actually in one scene together, and I was like, these guys never acted in a film together, and there they were on screen, much to my delight. Also, Marissa Tomei,
much to my delight,
and even Rachel Wood, nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay. It will not win.
What did you just whisper?
It's not going to win. It's an okay movie. You saw this movie?
Yes.
It's pretty good.
I liked it very much at home. If I paid money to see this, it's another one of these movies that would not have held up to, you know, the bargain of getting out of the house, parking the car, walking, paying for her pretzel, paying for her ticket, sitting there with idiots in the theater. Mm-hmm. It was not worth all that. But I can tell you this. I didn't know much about the movie going in. It takes a turn in the middle that's kind of out of left field.
I agree.
I really enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
I do these little tests, Brian, where I'll get home really late at night.
Turn the air conditioning on?
Yeah, I turn it on right on you, too. I actually angled the vents.
This is terrible.
1 a.m., I get home, sometimes 1:32, and I'll start a movie. And usually my plan is I need 6 hours of sleep. I'm going to watch an hour of this movie. And if it's good, I watch the whole goddamn thing, and then I only get like 5 hours of sleep. And I got to tell you, I watched all of Ides of March. I never thought I would. Actually, the first 20, 30 minutes, I was thinking about sending it back. I'm like, I already saw Charlie Wilson's War, and it was good. This is not.
This seems like a drama version of The War Room. But where are you going?
Charlie Wilson's War. I'm turning up the guy.
You know, Leonardo DiCaprio dropped out of this role, but he's standing on as executive producer.
Yeah, executive producer.
Doesn't it feel like all of Clooney's movies now, we have a sample set of three, right? He did the Good Night, Good Luck, and he did the one with the story about the game show guy, Chuck. Yeah.
That was such a letdown. I was so excited
about the game show CIA guy. The point is, the movies all feel technically proficient, like they hit all the marks they're supposed to hit, but they're just, they don't sing, you know what I'm saying? They know the notes, but they don't know the tune.
No, I think that this one, I think Clooney, I forgot that he directed it at one point. I actually looked up to see who the director was because I was enjoying it. I'm like, oh, yeah, Clooney.
Oh.
I think he's hitting his tones. I think he's hitting his marks.
All right.
He's not overdoing it.
No, it's not overdone at all.
You know, but
he's underdone.
No, but he used to overdo it.
All right. I'm with you on that. Yes.
I'm trying to buy time, Brian. Buy me time so that I can look up the movie because I.
Ides of March?
No.
It was Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
God damn it, you're quick.
I'm quick.
You're not quick.
I also saw.
I was almost there. God damn it. And I was so excited about that movie because I had my boy Sam in it.
The only thing. Oh, speaking of my boy.
Yeah.
The only thing that would make it better is called Flick Fashions of a Dangerous Mind. That's what I'm calling my Flick Fashion from now on. Flick Fashions of a Dangerous Mind.
Why? Why would you do that?
My mind's dangerous.
Oh, because of the fashion. I looked up something on IMDb the other day and I didn't understand what I was talking about because it was like a Japanese film or something. Strange thing. No bees in it. I didn't have any. Michael Biehn was the first name that came up. And it had nothing to do with what I was looking up. I was looking up some Kurosawa film or something. And Michael Biehn was like, did you mean Michael Biehn on IMDb?
Wow.
And I'm like, Brian fucking.
And you're like, yes, I did mean Michael Biehn.
How much is, are we 45 minutes in yet, Logan? Or where are we
at? No, we're barely
about
15.
About an hour in?
About 15 minutes.
Okay. All right.
I also saw, speaking of Biehn, Take Me Home Tonight.
Did you really do that?
Biehn.
Why would you watch that? Did you send away for
that? That was a funny movie.
What?
It was a funny movie.
Logan, pipe down. Take Me Home Tonight,
that's my line. That's
directed by Michael Douce, starring Topher Grace, Anna Faris, Dan Fogler, Teresa Palmer, Chris Pratt from Moneyball, Lucy Punch from Bad Teacher, and Biehn, Michael Biehn. Michael Biehn
Must
in a prominent
scream,
role.
Biehn.
Must scream Biehn. Biehn always gets screamed.
Michael Biehn.
This movie cannot have been better with Biehn. We cannot play better with Biehn because it has Biehn, so it cannot be any better.
Okay. All right, very definitive.
Very definitive. Okay, first of all, the song never.
I want to hear that all again. I really do.
The song never appears in the film. There is no "Take Me Home Tonight" in
Thank
the film.
Thank God.
There's like little scores of it here and there.
You hear
little instrumental versions of it.
Topher came on Loveline talking about it, and he was pushing it hard, and I could tell he had fear in his eyes.
It had been.
Well, he should have because it
he was afraid of Biehn.
He was afraid of the bombing that was going to take place the following day because he was in here Thursday night. It was opening Friday.
Biehn was going to rain bombs.
Biehn played his dad, right?
Yeah, he did.
Billy
Cop.
Biehn.
Not Billy Biehn. That's Moneyball. That's Moneyball.
We don't know what we talked about.
The movie was shelved since 2007, Anderson.
Weird.
For 4 years because there was explicit drug use because it was the 80s. Kids were doing cocaine.
Wait, so they shelved it because there was drug use?
They couldn't figure out how to market a movie like this to teens or to whatever it was.
How do we squeeze the most dollars out of this piece of shit? How can we possibly do that?
I was a little disappointed. Anna Faris, who is my favorite comedic actress, one of my favorite actors or actresses overall, love her very much, was oddly unfunny. She seemed very...
Who?
Anna Faris.
Oh, yeah. She's never funny.
Oh, how fucking dare you?
She really isn't.
What are you talking about?
She lost me when she farted in the bathtub. In a scary movie?
Yeah. In her first role, she lost you?
Gross farting girl in the bathtub will never come back in my world, ever.
Pretty sure it was on the screenplay.
Disgusting. Right. She smelled it. I will never, ever forgive her. Came in here for House Bunny, and I gave her a dirty look because of that scene. Never look at her.
She was the only good part of the House Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is there a good part of that?
She was good.
Are you done flick fessing? Because it sounds like you're done. It feels like you're done. I'm going to be honest.
Did I mention Anna Faris?
Did you mention Michael Biehn?
Your turn. Biehn! Your turn. Please tell me some movie with Biehn.
It was a short week.
Well, it was not. It was extra long.
And I saw zero movies.
Wow. Let's move on.
Let me start with this. I was very excited about many movies this year. A lot of the reason was because of the episode we did of the Sundance preview.
That episode sucked.
Which you refused to let us do again this year.
Yeah, it was a terrible episode.
I think that the listeners liked it. I know I liked it. And the movies I'm going to be talking about today, for the most part, two of the three flick fashions are from actually Sundance. And I've been waiting for them, one of them over a year to watch. I'm very, very excited. So please send your complaints about us not doing Sundance preview or what came out of Sundance. Best top five movies that came out of Sundance this year. Because there's some good ones, Brian.
That's right.
And this proves it.
Send it to my Twitter. Shut up, little man! It's at Logan Moy. What's that?
That's not a funny joke at all. Shut up, little man. An audio misadventure.
Yeah, you finally
came out. You know where it premiered? Sundance, 2011.
The Dance.
I saw it. Shut Up, Little Man, An Audio Misadventure is a – two of the movies I'm going to talk about today are very similar, but very – I love one and one is okay. The one that's okay is Shut Up, Little Man. I can semi-quasi – actually, yeah, go ahead. It's good. It's funny. Right. It's about these two college kids or college-age kids.
It's about
kids
a meme.
In the 90s. Who grew up in San Francisco? Well, they were living in San Francisco, like in the 80s, late 80s, 90s, early 90s, and they had these,
AIDS was rampant.
They had these two very loud neighbors in this little shithole. They called it the Pepto Bismol Hotel or the Bismol Hotel because it was painted pink and it was in San Francisco and it was cheap and paper thin walls. And their neighbors, soon after moving in, they realized they had horrible, horrible neighbors who were screaming and yelling. One guy was a gay older man. Mm-hmm. And the other one was an older homophobic man, and they would scream and yell at each other all night,
wow,
drink all night long. And the two kids that live next door decided to audio tape them and actually stuck microphones out the windows. And there were some very funny scenes. And apparently these tapes, I had never really known about them. I heard about them. A lot of people I've talked to about this movie, they're like, oh, yeah, I have all those tapes. Wow. I got those tapes.
And I'd never heard about this before. I heard about the movie.
But a lot of people have been listening to the tapes, have been passing them around, much like Winnebago Man, kind of like a lot,
yes,
of the insiders
reminds me
have
very
that.
Very much of the Winnebago Man.
And then they, you know, it's a bit of a mystery and they're tracking down to see where these guys are now. And it's kind of interesting to see what happened to the tapes and how they kind of grew. And all these three different documentaries were tried to be made from,
really?
You know, these audio tapes. And there's a question of like, are they taking advantage of these two guys? And it's interesting. And I think it is very good. I saw it probably like a week and a half ago and I've seen another one since that's very similar, but better, so much better. And here's the movie. Okay, Brent, I told you about how I get home very late and I pop a movie in.
Yep.
And a lot of the time I'm watching the clock and I'm thinking, do I have time to watch more of this? I'll stop it here and watch the rest tomorrow. It's not that great. this one of the few movies that not only did I stay up and watch it long after I should have gone to bed, I watched all the extras. And then I watched half of it. I watched half of it with the audio commentary.
What did you watch? I must know.
This movie is called Resurrect Dead.
I don't know what that is.
The Mystery of the Toynbee Tiles. Now, God damn it, I meant to start off with a story. And this might be why I love this movie
so
much.
Logan is going to start this later.
If – no. Logan, no production, please. If you're
done.
If you have the same if you have the same kind of taste as I do in movies, I can almost guarantee you're going to like this movie. It is a documentary. Pittsburgh, early 90s. I'm there with my dad. I used to go back all the time. We're seeing Penguin games. We're seeing while we're watching Barry Bonds lose the National League.
Big earring in his ear. You know, he also went to high school. And he taught me how to be smug.
He taught you how to be black.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I am in Pittsburgh out late at night drinking and smoking. And
he's
in
trying
the middle
to throw a Sid Bream at home plate. He can't do it.
I don't want to hear about that.
Okay,
I will punch you. And I'm drunk in the middle of the street because it's a avenue and it's very busy usually, but it's late at night. So I'm looking down and I'm walking back to our hotel and I see this tile that's like stuck in the cement.
Okay.
And it says the Toynbee idea in Kubrick's 2001. Resurrect dead on planet Jupiter. That's all it says. And it's an actual tile.
The Toynbee?
Toynbee. T-O-Y-N-B-E. It's like actually a guy's name named Arnold Toynbee, who was a philosopher and a scientist back in like the turn of the century.
Okay.
But I was fascinated by that tile. Like, who put it there? Why was it there? I went out and took pictures on film way back
in
the day.
You must have been into Kubrick at this point.
I was very into Kubrick, but I was also very into this random tile about the size of a license plate embedded in the cement, in the asphalt, in the middle of what is normally a very busy highway except for late at night. Not highway, but like an avenue.
A boulevard.
Years later, like about a year ago, in researching movies that are going to be at Sundance, I see that there's a fucking documentary about these goddamn tiles. And they're all over the Eastern Seaboard. They found some in South America as well. And there's this group of crazy fucks who obviously have a lot of time on their hands and they're passionate about the tiles because they've been seeing them for a long time. So they go and they try and figure out who's been making these tiles.
Wow.
And it's all about Resurrect Dead, Toynbee, in the Kubrick – in the movie 2001 on planet Jupiter. And there's
decipher
a few variations.
What that means.
I'm not going to do that because that's the whole goddamn movie.
Oh,
but
read it again. What do they say? No, because
it's not
hard to get your mind around.
Toynbee idea in Kubrick's 2001, Resurrect Dead on planet Jupiter. That's one of a few variations of that same message. And you learn all about it.
All right.
And it's a mystery, a great mystery. I realized also that no one has to get murdered for a mystery to be awesome. Like, there's some like really creepy, heavy, weird shit in this movie. I don't want to oversell it, but I continue to think about it even, you know, it's almost a week later and I'm still thinking about it all the time. I watched it again, and it's a movie right up my alley. It's four guys that are out there searching, trying to find who made these tiles, and it's amazing. I love it. I loved it. It's this year's Banksy movie, fucking Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Yeah, you love that film.
But there's no question of it being like real or anything, and no one can get into that. It's just a really, really good movie. The mystery of the Toynbee tiles. Really enjoyed it. All right, I'm sure I oversold it though. It's okay. And then finally,
I disagree.
This is the longest flick fashion we've ever done.
That's all right.
Finally,
it's gonna be a short episode.
Thanks to the goddamn Academy, not knowing how to rate movies and think movies are good and bad. And there's a guy named Terrence Malick who's made like five films.
Terry Malick. Oh fuck! I have this at home. Please,
and,
be gentle.
he made a couple good ones like Badlands, which I absolutely
loved. You talked
about,
by the way. Was your Anti-Heroes one?
Anti-Heroes. I love me some Badlands. But he's since, and then he went into seclusion after.
Didn't he do Nashville or something? Or what was his? He did another film in that era that was big.
It was Days of Heaven. He did Days of Heaven. And then he didn't do anything for like 20 years. And he comes back and he makes Robert a thin red line. And Sean Penn declares him the Messiah. So everybody has to kiss and bow at the altar that is Terrence Malick. I went to see Thin Red Line back in 1998 because it was a Vietnam movie. I was very excited because I love war movies, especially.
That was a fucking mess.
And it was just stream of consciousness. Instead of like actually war and action and stuff going on, it's Sean Penn looking far in the distance and then flashback.
That was Jim Caviezel.
A flashback. I believe Sean Penn. Flashback of like him thinking about his girlfriend at home and she's swinging on the swing. And all right, flash forward to this year and he's made another one. A couple in between as well, like a Brave New World, the New World with whatever, Colin, whatever.
But not since then, not since Thin Red Line.
Yeah, yes.
He's made a movie since Thin Red Line?
He's made a movie, bro.
Oh, no shit. Why okay, anyway.
Yeah, he made
Tree
the
of
New World where Tree he had like the 15-year-old girl naked through
Tree
half
of Life, Tree of Life.
Settle down. I want to tell you about the movie that he made since. I can't find it. Oh, The New World. Yeah, he made The New World in 2005.
Great.
There you go.
Great story.
So it's up for Best Picture. So now I have to watch it.
I said the same thing on Twitter. I'm going to have to watch this piece of shit now.
It felt at times like a beautiful nature film, but with like no,
well, that's
no
I like
information.
Nature. I like nature.
No information at all.
I like information.
It felt like second time I brought up Enter the Void. Felt a lot like Gaspar Noé's Enter the Void, except less drugs, but very, very like – it's a very similar movie actually. The two – End of the Void is all about like what happens after you die, what goes on, where do you go,
right?
What's life all about, the meaning of life, where do you go after you die. And it's very stream of consciousness from one place to the next. That's what this feels like. A great beginning of a life sequence. Like it kind of go – it shows you like a history of the world, almost like the Big Bang. It's something you see on Discovery.
Right.
And it's sometimes intense. It's definitely thought-provoking and at times really boring, but always, always really beautiful.
How long is it?
One of the most beautiful movies I've ever seen.
How long is it?
It felt like a 2.5-hour life insurance ad at times or a car ad with no cars.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
All that being said, these fucking pretentious assholes that have to say, oh, I loved it. I think it's great and it should be up for an Academy Award. I fucking loved it.
No, you did not. You did not. You did not. Get out of the studio right now.
I really did like it. I was hating it at times. Like if I was in a different kind of mood, I might have actually hated it. But I stayed up all night and I watched the whole thing and I really enjoyed it. I was like in a trance. It got me in a fucking trance. It worked, Brian.
Terrible.
I got to tell you, it's one of the most beautiful movies I've ever seen. And I'm still thinking about it all the time. The shadows and the way. But you just got to – you gotta submit, Brian. You got to submit to it. Let it take you. It's like looking at a little boy – it's like looking at a kid's life through like a photo album. But each picture is like a vignette.
It's like allowing
each picture is a vignette.
It's like allowing yourself to be hypnotized.
I was hypnotized. And it rarely happens. Usually I don't let myself – I give myself in. I gave in. It was great.
I
really enjoyed it.
How long would you say you have to commit before giving up on it? Because I fell asleep after like half an hour.
45 minutes probably. Did you get to the dinosaurs?
No, I didn't get to.
Jesus
I think
Christ.
I just started getting to the dinosaurs. But I was so bored.
It goes Sean Penn, dinosaurs, little boy, Sean Penn.
I was so bored. I couldn't continue.
Pitt?
I was getting mad how bored
it's
was.
It's like a modern day 2001, but less sciencey. I swear to God,
Christ.
I was so set to hate this movie. It's way better than a Thin Red Line. I still stand behind the fact that movie sucked ass. I did not like Thin Red Line.
At least there's a big cast.
This is a decent cast.
I will agree it was a beautiful
Sean
movie,
Penn.
Though.
But it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. However, I've read some of the user reviews of it too. Very funny. Like, he is a very good photographer. He should just be a landscape photographer. Stop making movies.
Like the new Ansel Adams.
I don't like how everyone kisses his ass, but if this was a quiet little movie that, you know, independent, which it was, and not everyone glommed onto it, I would probably be championing this movie and saying you should really see it if you're, but it is worth your eyes. Brian, check it
it's
out.
It's literally at home next to my DVD player, so
this segment
I'll have no choice.
Was almost as long as the movie. I can tell you that.
How about that?
But it's not for everybody. That's for damn sure. But you can't watch a thing and not say that it's beautiful. And you know what? I think I really liked his whole like using beginning from the beginning and the dinosaurs. It was very beautiful.
All right.
The girl walked in. She goes, "What the? Are you fucking kidding? You pretentious piece of shit." She like abused me. I'm like, "Honey, would you please let me watch my little dinosaur movie?"
Speaking of save, I got your save the date card.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on.
Yeah. Move on. By the way, all the films that I've mentioned are available for streaming on Amazon. You can get them on Amazon. You can rent them there. And Take Me Home Tonight, available streaming on Netflix.
I also watched Drive again, which is just fucking – it's great. The girl's even into it now. She loves it. I mean
– really?
She has a soundtrack. She's cruising around in a car. It's like, she's tough to please too. I thought she would hate it, but she loved it.
You tell me – I thought this would be a good segment.
Drive.
I decided against it. You tell me this would have been good. Christy saw Drive, and I put it in quotes because she was on a plane – and the guy next to her is watching it with headphones. So she saw part of Drive, mostly.
Wait, did she hear anything?
No, without sound, on a laptop.
And she would call
liked
that,
it. She liked it.
And she said that does she consider herself having seen it?
Yeah. So I was quizzing her. I'm like,
that's like Jillian. Jillian does this, it would be the same way.
Yeah. I'm like, name one person in the movie. She's like, it's not important if I name
that guy without a shirt in the crazy movie.
Yeah. She's like, and then she already described the plot and it was hilarity. We should do like
that would be
we
funny.
Should quiz her on the
that
movie.
Is the exact opposite of me. Like, I was to the point where if I didn't see the end credits, I felt like I hadn't seen the movie.
Really?
That's how obsessive I got at one point. Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't see the whole thing. I didn't see it. No, it's incomplete. Incomplete.
Do you ever go back and watch film to see the end credits?
Only if there's naked bitches.
Yeah. Coming up next.
I don't know what that means.
Naked bitches. No. Top five directors you've broken up with and naked bitches.
Are there?
Living in the trees is where I'll be.
Hey, guys. A really quick...
guys, there's girls listening to you, Brian. Come on.
Hello, listeners. A genuine and quick thank you very much for your support on Amazon. The click-through at AndersonandBryan.com, the banner you click through. If you're going to do your regular Amazon shopping, go there and do a little click-through. We get a little kickback, and it's a way to keep the show going, and we appreciate it.
And it's, you know, while you're listening to the show, you're probably listening to it at a desk or at a cubicle. You know, you got something to buy right now, probably. You just click on the click-through, quick click-through.
And we appreciate everything that you buy, from the guy who bought the $1,000 Epson Powerlite home cinema system, the projector, all the way down to, hold on a second, someone, we got 5 cents from somebody who bought a Life Planet Earth linen wall calendar, Anderson, for the YouTube 2012.
That
we appreciate
nice.
Those two things and everything
nice.
In between. We do. Every single thing, it adds up and we appreciate
it's a loin it. Cloth, a Planet Earth loincloth?
No, it's a linen wall calendar.
Oh, I thought it was a loincloth. And I had the elephants actually walking
it might
across.
Be a
That'd be sweet. Like the elephants parading across.
But you know what people are buying? Which is very cool because this is in the film vault.
Oh,
a lot of movies.
Yeah. That
you
want to
hear some of the better movies people are buying?
Okay. Well, I know of one.
Yeah.
Well, it's on there right now. You can stream it for $3.99.
What's that?
Resurrect Dead.
Oh, big
Hell
time.
Yeah.
People have bought Alien, American Psycho, Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans.
Oh, yes.
Four different people bought Drive. Drive is a big seller this week. Murder in the First, Punch Drunk Love, Raising Murder Arizona, the Ides of March, the aforementioned Ides of March. There Will Be Blood. And of
Our
course,
listeners have great fucking taste. They really do.
And they don't stop at they don't stop the movie. Someone bought an adult rocking chair in white.
That's bizarre. How do you... I guess little kid ones would be small. Adult, though?
Yeah.
Are there
It's for full size.
To
it's
it?
For full size. How dare you? No, it's not an adult product.
Okay.
But we appreciate everything you guys have clicked through and bought. It's a big help to us, big help to the show. Anderson and Brian, the Amazon banner on the site. Click through, do your regular shopping, make a little piece. Thank you very much. Hey, this is French Stewart. You're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonandBryan.com. Yeah, Film Vault.
Inspired.
Welcome back. Top five time. Top five directors, Anderson, you've broken up with. Maybe you're in a relationship with them at one point. Maybe you had
Are we breaking
special.
The news to them here? Because I've not called them or sent them a text?
For some of mine, it's been a while. They should know by now.
They should know by now. Resurrect Dead, by the way, 5.5 years took 5.5 years to make that documentary. They stuck with it, Brian. Thank God.
It took us five and a half years to get through Flickfessions.
Yeah, it did. But plenty of times they thought they weren't going to finish Resurrect Dead.
How delighted were you when you figured out they were making a movie about this?
Oh, I was doing dances and being delightful on air across from you talking about it.
I don't remember that. A year and a half ago. It must have been like when I learned they were making a Transformers movie.
Toyin B.
Or Transformers 2. Or Transformers 3, for that matter.
Are they still doing Transformers shit?
I fucking hope so. G.I. Joe 2.
They're making a whole other trilogy.
Yeah, G.I. Joe 2.
Who's doing it?
I don't know. I just heard that they're making a whole other trilogy.
G.I. Joe 2.
Reboot or just...
No idea.
Why would you need to bother? Let's set this one on Cybertron.
Oh, they're making the 3D ride.
Where?
At Universal Studios.
Oh my God, really? Really? Yeah. Let's go get in line now, guys. Sounds great.
I hope you're joking because I will do it.
Top five. Let's break up with some bitches.
Number five for you or number five for me?
Let's do five for me.
Yeah.
And I will start with – man, this kind of breaks my heart because I like – it's okay, here's the thing. These guys – there's no ladies. I'm not breaking up with any ladies. These are all dudes that I used to love. And it's not like I'm not going to never go see another one of his movies. I'm not banning his movies.
You don't feel the same way you once did.
It's just like movies come out.
You'll stop in for a booty call.
and they'll be in the theater down the street, and it's like unless somebody like tells me I have to see it.
Doesn't inspire the same passion I once had.
When his first number of movies, such as Jabberwocky, Time Bandits, I didn't like Brazil that much, but Adventures of Baron Munchausen, Love, Fisher King, 12 Monkeys,
Fear and Loathing
in Las Vegas, he started to die a little bit. Brothers Grimm, I decided not to see. Tideland, I'm not really interested. The Imaginarian, he lost his actor.
Imaginarian, Dr. Pernicious.
I have not seen shit. I have not seen shit since Fear and Loathing. I just kind of lost interest.
Name him from Terry Gilliam. Terry Gilliam.
Which is a shame. And, of course, Monty Python and the Holy Grail. That was the first movie he ever directed.
That's right. Those were his films.
He was holding hands. That and Jabberwocky.
Did he direct all of those Monty Python films?
No. Jabberwocky was the first one that he actually directed solo. But he co-directed Monty Python and the Holy Grail. But Terry Gilliam, I used to see everything you'd make, like First Day. Like I loved your style and stuff. And I feel bad for him because I saw that documentary, too, the the one that Johnny Depp
lost
was in.
Lost in La Mancha. About the making of the Don Quixote.
Very sad.
Very depressing.
I wouldn't recommend it. It's just about how a big, giant name like Terry Gilliam can't even get things off the ground with Johnny Depp and a bunch of money.
But he did get it off the ground, though, right? Like, they started filming and they abandoned it.
Floods and things happened, this and that, but he never even finished the goddamn movie. Plus, it didn't look that good.
In today's day and age of multi-million-dollar Hollywood projects, how does the film just get abandoned? How like do you say like, you got Johnny Depp
director. Lost in La Mancha.
I'm asking you for the shorthand answer. Right? Like, how does a film just get like
people not doing their jobs properly and have insurance set up when they need it because it was a giant fire?
So they can recoup their losses, keep things cheap, and go down
to Mexico or something. Or you just get like one of the last moguls that's still in Hollywood and says, you know what, fuck that guy. We're not gonna release that one.
Wow.
There's a movie called Overnight. You should check it out.
Yeah, but they didn't. Oh, right.
Essentially abandoned, shelved,
kind of. Yeah,
fucked over. A lot of the time, there's like
they hadn't started shooting though by the time they abandoned that.
A lot of the time, there's like they'll finish a movie and then there's like an edit dispute. And the director, remember the whole Tony Kay thing, and he wanted to make his Humpty Dumpty was the director.
He wanted to put his name on the film
American History X
as Humpty Dumpty. But he already trashed the film, so
a lot of big personalities and a lot of big swinging dicks there in Hollywood.
Here's the thing. If you don't like your film and you want to put a different name on it, just don't trash it in public or wait till after you do.
You know what the name is that they go with?
What's that?
If they don't...
Yeah, Alan Smithy.
Yeah.
There was a movie called Burn Hollywood
Ungood.
Burn.
Ungood.
Never saw it. Yeah. I heard it was Ungood. Ungood. You. Yeah. Stay paying attention.
Stephen Dorff? I don't know.
Except when you talk about your stupid fucking tiles, no one cares about.
Oh, Toynbee. Let's talk a little bit about Arnold Toynbee.
Number
five.
We can
resurrect dead every molecule, every living molecule.
Number five.
On planet Jupiter.
My least inspired choice, but it's the most obvious choice, and it has to be mentioned.
Resurrected.
I have no doubt this will be high on the listener's list, probably number one.
Resurrected.
But I've broken up with M. Night.
M. Night?
M. Night Shyamalan.
Were you ever together with him?
I was.
What is your criteria?
I was, because you know why? M. Night's movies have gotten so bad, And so,
or M. Night.
And yeah, so bad. And the whole twist thing has gotten so cliche and so played out that people now have revisionist history on The Sixth Sense. They're like, well, it wasn't that good anyway. It's an ordinary movie without the twist. I fucking love The Sixth Sense. I think it's a great movie.
It's a very, very good
movie. I thought it was a really good movie, even if there was no twist. It's like, I thought the scene at the end where he's telling, spoiler alert,
Donnie,
where he's telling, no. The scene at the end where the little kid's telling his mom that he saw her mom and grandma and everything.
I thought that was the end of the movie. He said, I saw
that. No, he didn't say that. He's telling,
you like being interrupted? You like it?
Wow.
You should have seen Brian's frustration. That's what you get.
In the car, when little Haley Joel tells his mother all about her mother.
He sees dead people?
She's like, she saw you dancing. She was proud. And I thought that was the end of the movie. I'm like, that's a nice little button for that movie. That's a good movie. Very satisfied. And there was a massive twist. Whoa. And it became what it became, and it became a phenomenon. I thought it was a great movie, and I liked Unbreakable. I thought Unbreakable was really underrated.
Love Unbreakable. You're constantly not putting it on a list.
I am. Can't put it on enough lists. Top five anti-heroes. Top five badass bitches.
Top five black men who have glass for bones in movies.
Yeah. Spiral Fractures.
It was very well directed. When he's going up those stairs, I was stressed.
Yeah, going down the stairs. Going downstairs. That's right, chasing the guy.
Oh, yeah. I was very stressed. I'm like, please don't shatter.
When the fat comic book store employee is trying to get him out of the store, man, I gotta get some chicken in me. I got some chicken in me.
And I still stand up. I say a lady in the water is good. You know what? He got on my list.
That's when the breakup started, because I didn't look that good. I didn't see it, but I hated it. I thought Signs was weak.
I enjoyed Siggins.
The Village I thought was okay, but
Village
disappointing.
Was awful. Village
the Happening was awful. And that's when the breakup started. I never saw The Last Airbender and Devil. I turned my back upon. Granted, he didn't direct it, but it was from the mind. It was from the mind, Anderson.
The mind?
Shyamalan.
The enemy mind?
I turned my back on him. M. Night, it's over. Sorry, buddy. This is where you find out.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of disappointed directors.
What does a guy like that do? Because he's always putting himself in. He thinks of himself as Hitchcock. He puts himself in the Reflection and The End of the Village.
I remember some article about he was like, American audiences don't understand my films. Really more of a European director.
You know, I was gonna make the snide remark that maybe he should go over to Europe. Maybe that's the only place where he could possibly make money, because they're always 10 years behind. Maybe they don't know that he sucks.
Maybe.
Yet. You know what I'm saying?
It's good stuff, bro.
Just kidding.
USA.
Just kidding.
Sorry.
You are inferior, but just kidding.
Number four for you.
I take a lot of shit for making fun of the Europeans there.
Really?
I don't understand their language.
On this show?
So I just assume. Yeah. I think. I don't know.
No.
I say a lot of dumb shit a lot.
You do.
All right, my second.
You spread your dumb shit all over. All over the broadcasting world.
Mm-hmm.
Number
it's
four.
Not a broadcast, Brian. It's a narrow cast.
It's a narrow cast.
Yeah.
We're specifically broadcasting to few.
My next director, who I used to champion and talk about quite often and say, you don't understand. Just because he's a Mormon, practicing Mormon, not Jack, no, nay, practicing Mormon, doesn't mean that he can't make awesome, edgy fucking movies.
Right.
Not Napoleon Dynamite style. That's what, you know, you would think of from a Mormon, practicing Mormon. But no,
The
Company of Men. Neil LaBute.
Oh, Neil LaBute.
In The Company of Men.
There's Betty.
One of my favorite movies ever, still. Yeah. I love In the Company
of Men. I just like
that film. Your Friends and Neighbors. Holy shit, that was great. Also directed and written by. Then he goes on to make In the Shape of Things, which I ignored.
Are you skipping over Nurse Betty?
No, I'm going to go to Nurse Betty. I'm sorry. I was going. But Nurse Betty, I love that movie, and I took a lot of shit for like
that was
movie.
A great twist ending, too.
I think it's
too.
A really good movie.
Wasn't a twist ending, but it was a reveal at the end.
Do you enjoy the movie? Did you enjoy it? Morgan Freeman?
One of I enjoyed few it. I saw it once and I enjoyed it very much.
Chris Rock was even.
Saw when it came out.
Decent in it.
He was great.
And I love Lemon Face. She takes a lot of. Renee Zellweger takes a lot of shit. And I got to tell
you. Was Greg Kinnear in that too?
She's, yeah. He plays the soap opera doctor. But she. Lemon Face, what's her name? God damn.
Zellweger. Renee Zellweger.
She's really a sweet lady and very nice. And
she tasted something sour, but she's very nice.
But with the movies that came out after The Shape of Things and Wicker Man, Not the Bees, I think the Not the Bees was probably just where I'm like, Neil, I can't continue.
What's Not the Bees?
That's Wicker Man.
Oh.
With Nicolas Cage.
Nick Cage film.
Oh, no! Not the Bees! Not the Bees! You got to see it. It's one of the funnier bad acting things you'll ever see in movies ever.
Sure.
Not the Bees. Logan, do you know what I'm talking about?
I haven't seen it, but I know I get the reference.
You gotta see.
I've seen the YouTube video
clips from Wicker Man. Might be a movie that we would want to do a commentary on.
Okay,
I mean, there's some awesome shit where he's like wearing a bear suit and just beating the shit out of people, or the other way around. Like he's beating like just punching women straight, cold cocking them in the face. It's funny, but it's a terrible movie.
Cold cocking,
terrible movie.
It's good stuff.
So Neil LaBute,
it's over. But you did see Wicker Man. So it's not a complete breakup, right?
But I didn't see Lakeview Terrace. I didn't see Death at a Funeral. And I didn't see a short that he made 2 years ago called Sexton. I did not. I almost watched a Hallmark movie that came on the other night when I got home. I was, you know.
Directed by Neil LaBute?
Turned on the TV and Hallmark Channel was on. I don't know why. Generally, what are you watching the Hallmark Channel for? But it was called Sexting in the Suburbs. And a really attractive young girl came walking in, bouncing in, saying, "Hi, Mom, I'm home." And I'm like, should I try it?
But you're not going to see any boob there. You're not going to see any boob.
I know, but still, the imagination, bro.
It's a good point.
Imagination. Sexting in the Suburbs.
Sexting in Suburbia.
Okay. That was close. How do you know?
Because I just IMDb'd it.
What if you find out no movie exists and I'm just making shit up as I go?
IMDb'd it off.
Hey, what's the rating? Let me guess. Like 4.3?
AKA Shattered Silence. 5.7.
5.7. Goddamn, House Moms getting on there going, this is a wonderful movie. I'll give it a 10. It was a wonderful, very informative movie. I will never let my daughter use the phone or internets again.
I just turned off my daughter's cell phone. Thanks, Hallmark.
Thanks, Hallmark. I communicate with her strictly through greeting cards. Thank you, Hallmark.
That's good stuff. Number four for me.
Neil LaBute. Goodbye.
This is more of an emotional.
You'll be a Mormon on your own.
This is more of an emotional breakup, and this one hurts. Mm. Here's my heart. Because I fell in love with this film, Sanderson. I don't know why that's funny. Much like Lloyd Dobler fell in love and Say Anything, I fell in love with Cameron Crowe.
Oh. Vanilla Sky really was a piece of shit, and I can understand where that breakup would occur.
You.
I can understand
dare
that.
Dare you. Uh-huh. Say Anything, Singles, and then for my money, a directing trifecta that has never been surpassed, only equaled with Jerry Maguire. Oh, boy. Almost Famous and Vanilla Sky. Fucking love all those movies. And then Kim is Waterloo.
Vanilla, you're high.
Fucking love Vanilla Sky. Number one remake of all time. Mm. Then came his Waterloo Anderson, Elizabethtown.
Oh, it was really
2005.
Good.
That was a horrible
film. So good.
That was an unbelievably bad film.
Every chick in that town was named Elizabeth. It was really cool.
That would have been an interesting twist. Elizabethtown.
What's your name? Elizabeth.
Elizabethtown scarred me so much. Because I had so loved. I thought Cameron Crowe could do no wrong. Okay. I thought Singles was his worst film and I still liked it. So I was.
I love when Ethan Hawke walks out after the one night stand. He looks at her number. He's like, "Fuck that bitch!" Just throws it in the bushes. I'm like, "Yeah, that'll be me one day."
Yeah, was it?
It was.
Okay.
Yeah, I burned mine though. Like, why didn't in front of her?
It's good stuff.
Burned it. Honor. With a cigarette.
Yeah, yeah. Teach her a lesson for writing in her number.
Yeah.
Elizabethtown. So disappointing. 2005. So disappointing. The fact that when We Bought a Zoo came out 6 years later, then it had no interest.
You and everybody. Had zero.
No, yeah, 63% of Rotten Tomatoes. No Oscar nominations despite a Christmas release. I think they were hoping for better things.
What's that? Because I agree with you. Cameron Crowe definitely belongs on a list. And obviously a really, really good filmmaker. Lost something. Something's going on with him. But here's how sad it is.
So disappointing.
I wasn't going to go see – if I went to go see We Bought a Zoo, it was going to be for J.B. Smoove. Because he's like he plays – I think he's in one scene. And I'm like, I love him so much.
If you make a Cage joke, I'm going to beat you up.
I love him so much. I might go to see it just for J.B. Smoove. For those of you who might not know, his name's Leon on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Yeah. He's probably, other than Larry David, the best part of that show. And that says a lot because it's a great show. But that was the draw, was to go see J.B. Smoove, maybe in one line.
Right.
I mean, one scene.
You were considering seeing. You haven't seen it yet.
They sold him the house. He was the real estate agent. No, I saw the trailer.
Okay.
I don't know if I ever will.
I don't know if I've
ever seen
either.
A fucking tiger with a bow on it? Fuck you.
Oh, so
no, thank you.
Disappointing, man.
I'd rather not.
Honestly, I don't think I can overstate my love for Jerry Maguire, Almost Famous, and Vanilla Sky. For me, that was three movies in whatever it was, 5 years that I thought were just fantastic.
But there's still hope. What's he got on the horizon?
I don't have anything written down for the horizon. He makes movies so infrequently. Literally in the last 10 years, he made Elizabethtown and We Bought a Zoo. He also did the Pearl Jam 20 movie, but I don't know if the so
he'll
much.
Come back. He'll come back around. I think he'll come back around.
There's still hope. There's still hope, Cameron, of us rekindling our flame. But as of now, consider us broken up.
It's just one movie. Elizabethtown is really what did it, yeah?
I have no desire to see the Zoo movie.
Well, what that? It could be great.
But that's indicative of the breakup, Anderson.
There's a lion or tiger with a bow.
Okay. A girl you've broken up with throws herself at you drunkenly at a party, and you say, "No, sorry, honey, not interested in the sex." Yeah, that's when you know you turn your back on her. You're broken up. Breakup is for real. You're not going back for rebound.
Well, this is after she's already sucked some like crackhead's dick in the parking lot, though.
Yeah,
right?
That was Elizabethtown.
That's what Elizabethtown
was. That's exactly what it was.
When are we going to bet, by the way? When are we going to start betting?
Oh, Oscar betting.
I had a great idea, and we're not running with it.
We can do it tonight if you want.
Offensive. Oscar yeah, bet. I would love to.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
I'll be ready.
Yeah. All right, more of that later. This one me, that last one for you, Cameron Crowe. I'm going to remind you that you're broken up by the way, because you love to sing his accolades. sing God. His accolades, and God, I'm tired of it. So can we say we're not going to talk about Cameron Crowe for a couple weeks? Is that possible?
A couple weeks?
Yeah, is that possible?
Consecutively?
Yeah.
I say I won't talk about him 3 weeks from now.
This is my Cameron Crowe for you. Okay. For me, I
emotional
say.
Breakup.
I love Alexander Payne.
Oh.
And I think that we're broken up, and I hope that I have the power to continue to be broken up with this man. However, my love of Citizen Ruth. Which, if you have not seen, kids, check out Citizen Ruth, a very good movie. Laura Dern opens up with her huffing paint, Brian. And it's one of these movies that's like really dark comedy, but like a few different edits, just a few tweaks and edits. And if they used a different soundtrack, it would have been like just really dark, no comedy at all. You know what I mean? I was walking that line. But it was hilarious. I found myself laughing out loud numerous times. But then he followed that up with Election. And I thought, this is my new comedic Kubrick. I love this man. Alexander Payne could do no wrong. Election's fucking phenomenal. If you have not seen it, I am very jealous of you because you get to watch one of the greatest things ever put on the screen for the first time, which I can never do.
Election's great.
Unless I lose my memory. And then he came out with a movie, Jack Nicholson, called About Schmidt, which is an old man. And it was a restricted narrative. And we were with him the entire time. And I was bored as fuck. And then he followed up with Sideways, which everyone fucking went out and started quaffing wine and talking about how great it was. And I told them to all fuck off, go
Sideways
watch Election.
Sideways was pretty good.
It was okay. There was a couple of scenes that were funny.
Election was 10 times better.
And then he didn't do anything until The Descendants. And it's like, I mean, it kept me engaged, but I was checking my watch. I was like, all right, you know what?
That was a smoker's exhale.
Mm-hmm.
That was rough.
That's not my – that's me doing that on purpose.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure, on purpose. You can stop anytime you want. Oh my God!
What was that? All right, so Alexander Payne. I really hope he's going to come back. I feel like Hollywood has got a hold of him, and then he is the important, a dramatic comedian filmmaker now. And have you seen The Descendants?
No, it's on my list. I got to see it for.
It's not a bad movie, but I mean, if anyone else directed, I can almost guarantee if anyone else directed, let's say George Clooney directed himself in The Descendants. It would be like a good movie. People are like, yeah, it's a good movie. It would not be up for Best Picture.
I thought it was a Jason Reitman movie.
It's
all time.
For Best
a Reitman
Picture,
film.
Reitman's the one with the chick that goes to – I won't –
Oh, bad.
I don't want to know the actual name.
Sorry.
Did you believe – I banned him to the point where I don't even want to know the names of his movies.
Wow.
Fuck him.
But Patton Oswalt's in it.
So what?
Patton's awesome.
I got drunk and yelled at Patton not too long ago.
That's not surprising. You get drunk and yell at a lot of people.
Let's go. So, yeah, Alexander Payne.
If you did a list of people you haven't gotten drunk and yelled at, it'd be a shorter list.
Surely. Alexander Payne is a very, very, very skilled filmmaker. Very, very smart man. Very funny man.
Surely.
I'm afraid that he feels like he can't do fun. It's upsetting.
I understand.
Aronofsky's not on my list, and I know he's not going to be on your list either. But it's just kind of like the same thing. Like, he made such greatness, and he's like, there's the pressures on that he has to make important films and transcend. And it's like, just do your own thing.
I agree. It's amazing when a director can get a tone so right for a film or a series of films and then just completely fall off. It's
he
like,
didn't, and
did you forget
the
how to
the
do
tone,
what you're doing?
The tone's not even wrong. It's not even a bad movie. It's just like an movie. It's like I'm not going to be thinking of George Clooney being in Hawaii, you know.
But Election was so smart
life.
And so fast and
so quick
so funny.
And so many quotable lines. Like, maybe I'd be dead. Yep. Who knows? Maybe I'd be dead. Chris Klein. Oh, it's fucking awesome.
Yep.
It was great.
So you've done 3. I'm going to do my number 3 now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sad.
You know what I forgot to do was thank our feature artist, the Codas from Louisville, Kentucky. Check them out. TheCodasRock.com. Thanks, the Codas.
Pick Flick.
Coda, C-O-D-A.
Coda. Pick Flick.
Pick Flick?
Yeah.
What that means?
The cupcakes that she made for the election.
So oh, yeah. Sorry. Tracy Flick.
It looks like I said pick fuck.
Tracy Flick. Tracy Flick.
That was great. Election. I'm going to go home and watch Election. He gets stung by the bee. Why did he get stung by the bee? That never made any sense. It
you know
was
what,
so out of left field.
You know, I have a theory. Because just like I think very influential was Chinatown with what's his face, Jack Nicholson. You know, he got his nose sliced early in the movie, and the whole time he's going around with the bandage on his nose, sort of undermines his character. He's sort of this low life, not a great detective. He's kind of like, you know,
he's flawed.
He's flawed. I think the same thing with Matthew Broderick. He's not, you know, the smooth character, you know, cheating on his wife thinks he is. He's flawed, and it's you're not supposed to take him seriously. Mm-hmm. That's my theory.
What do they call it? That bath that he takes, that shower that he gives himself when he goes in the tub at the hotel. He's getting all ready for his date.
The Italian shower.
Is it Italian?
Yeah,
I've heard all sorts of different races.
Where you
just squat down, you wash your balls.
Yeah,
and your armpits. Really gross.
Well, the Italian shower, I always knew because I'm half Italian, so I can say that. It's you put the deodorant on.
I was just wondering what race you go with because I've heard all sorts of different races. I've heard really anti-Semitic things with that. I've heard racist things. I just wanted to see where you where you go. I didn't go anywhere. I just asked.
You just asked.
I just asked.
You know what? You're the racist one for asking. Number three for me. A man who I once loved.
Trying to learn things.
A man. Well, I'll just say it's Michael Mann. Michael Mann.
Really?
I was going to go. I didn't know.
You're going to be clever and sophisticated.
A man.
Like an actual broadcaster. Then you're like, ah, bail out. Fuck this.
Yeah, hit the eject button. Hit the ripcord. Michael Mann, number three for me. Started off strong with Manhunter. Could not do any better than Heat. Loves Heat so much. And then, Anderson, you're not a big fan of The Insider. I love The Insider.
Insider. You know a movie's bad when you're sitting there thinking, this feels like something that would come out of like a Time magazine article. Like, it's
I love
just
The
dry.
Insider.
And then you find out that it's based on an article. Don't base movies on
for
articles.
For me, Ali is where it started to teeter a little bit. Like, there was a little bit of teetering, like the wheel was starting to come off. Liked Collateral. Enjoyed that very much. There were aspects of that I liked very much. Mm-hmm. But Miami Vice, that was the knockout
blow. You saw that?
I fucking – Yeah, it was a Michael Mann movie. I was thrilled.
No, you break up with Michael Mann years ago, and you save yourself.
No. I unfortunately saw Miami Vice. That was the chink in the armor. That was the
don't say that, Brian. We've talked about this.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
No, The Insider
Logan,
was it for
I'm
me.
I'm sorry, Logan.
To the point where I didn't even see Ali, and I wanted to, but I'm like, I couldn't do it. I did bring myself to see Public Enemies.
That was the knockout blow. The you know what it was? The Miami Vice was the was the jab, and the Public Enemies was the
Public Enemies. Public Enemies was like a huge, huge letdown. However, I gotta say, Collateral is fucking great. Collateral
holds
up.
That's the last good thing he did.
But
then it was two stinkers in a row.
Okay, you're right.
For me, it was three out of four movies were bad. It was Ali, liked Collateral, did not like Miami Vice, hated Public Enemies.
Was it you saying The Last of the Mohicans doesn't stand up? Because it's been years since I've seen
it. It was not
somebody
me
was saying
I've never
that.
Seen it.
Oh, it's Daniel Day-Lewis, my
I know,
boy.
I've never seen it.
I'm afraid to see it. I don't want to.
Michael Mann, where'd be gone? I don't even know. You know
but
what?
But Luck. Have you seen Luck?
That was my next thought. It was like, I don't know if there's hope because I have no desire to see Luck.
Luck, the pilot anyways, is fucking phenomenal to the point that I'm going to not watch it for at least a year and then I'm going to watch like the entire series.
All right.
Schedule that shit for a weekend and a half.
Tell me good things because I may
Luck is really, really good. Luck is very enjoyable.
See, now there's a flicker of hope.
And he directed it too.
Flicker of hope.
Yeah.
I know. That's why we're talking about it.
No, he directed it.
Coming up next.
TV series.
The conclusion.
HBO. It's very good.
To our top five directors we've broken up with. Is there a chance to rekindle the love? I don't know.
Probably not.
Probably not. Oh, you want gambling, Anderson. You're in luck. Oh,
I do want gambling.
You do?
Yes.
Next week, top five Oscar locks on the Film Vault.
Sweet.
Yeah, we're going to give you the locks you can make bets on this year in your Oscar pool and hopefully come out a winner. Although, if you follow my advice, probably not. I'm usually wrong. At least three out of five times I'm wrong.
It's pretty embarrassing. But you're actually watching movies now, which is weird.
Yeah. So oh, speaking of watching
better.
Movies.
Might do better.
Next week in Flick Fashions, I'll Flick Fest a movie.
You pre-flicking right now?
I'm
going
to Flick Fest a movie. I missed my whole life. I was told it was very good. Finally got around to seeing War Games, Matthew Broderick.
All right, War Games, what we talked about next week. Sweet. That is shocking to me that you have not seen War Games.
Well, there you go. That's the
God.
I'm sure all of our listeners are shocked right now.
All right, next week on the Film Phone.
Why are you laughing?
Tune in for War Games.
Why are you laughing?
And we'll talk about the Oscars as well. War Games.
Yeah, welcome back. My apologies and my thanks to the CODAs for not giving them a proper thank you before. The CODAs, C-O-D-A, the CODAs from Louisville. TheCODASRock.com. They have an EP out, Dead Radio. It's available now. Little Heart Records. Check them out. You can check them out in every feature artist we've had. If you have some of the music tickles your fancy, check them out at AndersonandBrian.com. All sorts of information there on feature artists and such. Anderson?
Brian, how are you?
Great.
Are you done doing what you do?
Am I done doing what I do?
Yes.
Steering the ship?
Are you done steering? White Squall.
Never seen it.
It's going to come up and be like, hey, Reggie, go ahead.
Isn't that a Ridley Scott film?
Mm-hmm.
God, I see it.
This is going to hurt you more than me.
No.
Yeah, it's going to hurt you more than me, Brian.
This can't be possible.
Are we doing this? Or is it your turn? Whose turn?
It's number two. It's your turn.
2A, Brian.
No.
2A, Tony Scott. 2B, Ridley Scott.
No, the Scott brothers.
Guys,
what? Ridley Scott just
Yeah, he did Robin Hood. It was fan-fucking-tastic. I don't know, because I had no interest in watching it.
Okay, Robin Hood was terrible.
Okay. I got to settle down. I'm sorry. I got a little
Robin was not
I
good.
Know that you love your Ridley Scott. And at one point, I thought Ridley Scott was going to be the new Kubrick. At one point. Because some people like to say that we lost Kubrick to England, but we gained. It was almost like we traded. We gained the Scott brothers because they came over.
Yeah, it was a two-for-one deal.
Right, and
a director to be named later.
Who's the director to be named later? Now it's going to be somebody cheap. Madonna. Because they're starting to be suck.
You can't tell me you're not going to see Prometheus.
Prometheus!
Going to get there, guys. And everything's been ruined.
Okay.
You're like going in to Sixth Sense and yelling like at the 45-minute mark, he's dead! Bruce Willis dead!
Spoiler alert.
We just did
everyone knows that.
Spoiler alert.
So if you haven't seen The Duelists, consider like his first feature. Very good. I'm talking about Ridley Scott now.
Sure.
And he follows it up with Alien, which still holds up today.
My number one movie that holds up?
Blade Runner. If you've ever wondered what Tom Cruise looks like as Satan, check out Legend.
Does not hold up, by the way.
Black Rain, I enjoyed that. Thelma and Louise, 1492. It's fucking long, but hey, Benicio's good in it.
Yep.
White Squall, that's Dead Sailor Society. I stand behind that movie. I love White Squall. It came out in White Squall 1996. G.I. Jane, suck my dick. The best you'll ever see Demi Moore. I fucking love G.I. Jane. Gladiator was when it all began. But then he came back with Hannibal. I'm like, hell yes. Then he came back with Black Hawk Down.
Yeah,
I'm like, fuck yeah.
Number one war movie ever.
I like Matchstick Men.
Matchstick Men was good.
But then Kingdom of Heaven, I can barely even
remember.
Kingdom
of Heaven was terrible.
I didn't see a good year. I saw American Gangster and I wished I was watching
American
The Wire.
All right.
I wished I was watching The Wire.
Right.
It just made me wish I was watching The Wire. And then Body of Lies. I don't even remember that coming out because I didn't give a fuck. Robin Hood looked like... It's like, wow, maybe he's going in this whole new avant-garde, like trying to remake Mel Brooks' comedy.
Men in Tights.
Is he doing Men in Tights? That's the only possible explanation. Is he's taking Russell Crowe and making him do comedy, which is just too far
left. The one thing
field.
I wish he would do a comedy. I wish he would do like an out-and-out comedy.
However.
Bro,
you know what? Matchstick Men is pretty funny.
There's some funny
Sam
moments.
Sam Rockwell
some funny
and Nicolas
moments.
Cage. There's some good shit in there. And what's
Alison Lohman.
She's so good.
She's
what
so
happened
attractive.
To her? Where's she been?
Yeah, where is
she on
been?
TV now.
She's cute.
I miss that. We should know things.
She's in Big Fish. I love her Big Fish.
Big Fish. Almost good. Needs to be remade.
Almost
says
good.
Me. But I got to say, Prometheus, I have high, high hopes.
Yeah.
If you have not seen the trailer for Prometheus yet, do yourself a favor. Brian, have you seen the trailer for
Prometheus?
I have.
It's fantastic. Are we on board?
It's almost arousing. It's almost that good.
People say it's a prequel to Alien. Is that true?
There's a lot of rumors abounding.
Okay, it's a rumor.
A lot of rumors. The internets like to have the rumors.
Okay. It's a rumor.
But something that is very similar is if you watch the Alien trailer, like the letters, like the slash of the A will start to show up. And then it's a style
that he did back in
79. I don't remember seeing the title come up that way in any other trailer.
Thelma and Louise.
Did it?
I don't know.
Wait, you just – really?
No.
Thelma and Louise is so good. He's prolific. And he's got such a range of style.
Thelma and Louise was a perfect movie for the time. I don't think it's a great movie, but it was such
a very good movie.
It's a touchstone thing now. Everyone talks about Thelma and Louise. It's a cultural touchstone.
It'd be a great movie.
Really?
Yeah. What's wrong with it? Why would it not? Two strong women dealing with Brad Pitt and stealing their purse?
He was having sex with them.
And stealing purse. Sorry, spoiler. But
they also blew up that trucker. That trucker scene is ridiculous.
I have not. Why would it not hold up today?
The trucker scene is ridiculous.
Okay. But I thought you meant like for the time, like it just doesn't two women anymore, being together.
It's not that it doesn't hold up. I think it was in the zeitgeist. It was captured a time and a place.
It caught the wave.
Yeah.
Of the
it's cultural touchdown.
I love Gina Davis.
Yes, yeah.
I loved her so
she
much.
Was.
I used to have a Zippo lighter and her face was on it.
Really?
And I would open her head and fire would come out. That's how I light my cigarettes.
Wow.
It was awesome. All right, Prometheus. Yeah, so I've not seen the trail. I've not seen the title come up on a Toronto. It's Ridley Scott trailer.
But Tony Scott.
Like that. And now we go over to Tony Scott. The Hunger, I don't really remember, but I remember it being a very strong first film. Then he goes to Top Gun, which I didn't really notice him. Beverly Hills Cop 2. Who doesn't love that? But and then
The Last Boy Scout.
It was not until True Romance where I'm like, you know what? He's not just his little brother, Ridley's little brother. He's actually True Romance is one of my top 10 favorite movies of all time, probably.
But the strength was a screenplay, right?
The Crimson Tide came out. What's that? Yeah, well, the strength was the screenplay. And,
I forgot
and True
about
Romance.
Crimson Tide. That's a good flick
and decent for a sonar movie. But
sonar movie.
But True Romance,
Das Boot.
If Tarantino were to have directed True Romance, I don't think it would be nearly as good.
Really?
I really don't.
Well, he was so young.
Talk about catching the wave. I think it was the perfect. But also, if Tony Scott were to direct this today, It would be like all really up close, swishing pan cameras, a lot of helicopter shots.
Sure.
A lot of Denzel Washington would somehow be in it. Maybe he'd be Elvis in the background. I'm
That'd
not
be
sure.
Amazing. Okay, keep going through Tony Scott's films.
The Fan. People hated The Fan. I love The Fan. I saw The Fan, I think, maybe six times in the theater. I became obsessed with The Fan.
No. Once.
It had all my favorites. It had De Niro, the Benicio del Toro, and Snipes, of course. Always bet on black, Brian. Always bet on black.
That's right. Different movie, but yeah.
But by the way, Key and Peele, you heard of that show?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that show.
Do they bet on
hilarious.
Black?
That show's very fucking good.
They bet. Well, this is not TV Vault. With the
no, they're not. But that's the line that they had said in the episode that I saw today. They're having a battle. I'm sorry. I'm completely off topic.
Wow.
The Key and Black is a very funny show.
Key and Black.
Key and Peele. It's a very funny show with two guys that are half black, half white. Wow. It's on Comedy Central. And it was a Martin Luther King thing and a Malcolm X thing. And they're both pandering to the audience. To the point where first they were just doing their actual speeches and stuff. Right. And they're getting by the end, they're like, always bet on black. And the whole audience was going fucking nuts. It was hilarious.
It's good stuff. Tony Scott. Right.
Spy Game. I'm starting to think, okay, you're making the kind of the same movie over after Enemy of the State. Mm-hmm. And then Man on Fire, which is a remake,
it's
which
my
I
house
enjoyed.
Right now.
You've seen it?
No, it's in my house right
it's
now.
It's fun. It's really fun. It's a guilty pleasure type movie. But it's like you can see like he's losing his mind. And at first I thought I kind of liked it. And then I saw Domino. I'm like, oh, I don't like it at all.
I don't like it.
It worked with fucking Keira Knightley just being awful. And then he made a movie ironically titled Deja Vu. And it's like, yes, you know what? I have seen this movie before. And by the time that I did not see I did see The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3. Which, just don't bastardize. The first one was almost perfect. Taking of Pelham was almost perfect. And I went to see Unstoppable just for irony.
That was a Tony Scott film?
Yeah.
Wow.
I went to see Unstoppable because I had a day off.
Unstoppable was not a bad film.
I love both the actors, Denzel and Chris Pine. And they did a funny little sketch on SNL. And I thought, you know what? I kind of feel like it now. And it wasn't a good – I mean, it was
– not bad.
It was like a train ride. It was like a roller coaster, but
no. That to me almost felt like what you were describing The Insider as is almost like a 48 hours, 20 minute special.
The two of them together, I just thought they're not really dead. I had to put them on the list.
All right.
I am breaking up. It's not like anything that they do is I'm going to freak out, except for Prometheus. Oh, yes. Prometheus. Did you see Robin Hood?
Yes.
Why would he do that? Why did you figure out why he did it when you watched it?
I think it probably offered a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
That's what it feels
sure,
like.
I'm sure,
it
what's feels the fuck like, was attached? Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe's. Feels like he turned in his care card. You know what I mean? It feels like he's like, all right, I've done my thing, but now Prometheus could turn that all around.
Hope so.
And as for Tony Scott, his next venture is Emma's War. It's in production apparently, and we'll know more about that later.
This Emma's director, War. Number two for me.
Look
this
for a movie with Denzel Washington.
The next film by him, the next director I'm talking about, is called Twixt. It's due out next year.
Twixt.
No, this year. Excuse me. Due out this year. Twixt.
Oh.
The Hollywood Reporter calls it, quote, easily his silliest work ever. Mm-hmm. And this is a man, Anderson, who gave us Jack. Talk about Francis Ford Coppola. Mm-hmm. It's been a long, painful slide for Francis. But my love for him started off with The Godfather in 1972, followed up strongly with The Godfather Part 2 in 1974, and of course, Apocalypse Now in 1979. And then it was a precipitous slide because
– Precipitous.
The cracks in the dam started to show with The Outsiders and Peggy Sue Got Married. Not bad films, but also not great films like he had been making. The Godfather Part 3. Dracula, Jack, The Rainmaker.
Jack.
Then he took a 10-year hiatus where he made mediocre wine. And then I made the mistake, Anderson, of seeing his first film in whatever it was, 10 years.
Youth Without Revolt.
Holy crap, that was a mistake. Nobody out there see Youth Without Youth. It is, unless you would like to commiserate with me, do not see Youth Without Youth.
Just add it to Twitter.
Oh, why would you do that?
Can't wait to watch it.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet, then, have you?
No.
Don't!
I have seen Tetra, though.
I was about to say, it turned me off so much, I had no desire to see Tetra.
Tetra is Tetra. It is what it is.
No.
Vincent Gallo.
I know. You only saw
Vincent Gallo, Francis Ford Coppola. Gotta see it, right?
Okay, honestly. Vinny Jean.
In fairness. Okay, go ahead.
If Vinny Jean wasn't in it,
hmm?
Would you have seen it, or would it have been any good? Vintage U was not associated with
it. I barely remember Tetra. It was really pretty and was black and white. And there were some things. It was about a brother who was angry, but no.
Never.
Okay, listen. In fairness to Francis Ford Coppola, it's the exact opposite almost of what I'm talking about with the Scott brothers, namely Ridley Scott, where I feel like he turned in his character card. I don't feel like Coppola has turned in his character card at all. He loves the art of cinema. He loves movies. He loves making them. He's always interested, much like Lucas is with technology, he's interested in where stories are going to come from next and what you can do with stories. And he is constantly busy not only writing but producing movies. I mean, he's heavily involved, and I don't get the feeling. I mean, you met him once, right? Didn't you meet him once?
I did not
meet him. I don't get the feeling that he's in it for the money. I get the feeling he's in it for the passion. That's why maybe he wasn't feeling it for a while. He went off and made some wine, and now he comes back and he tries this and he tries that. That's why I need to see Youth Without Youth.
Anderson, but I love football, but I'm not going to line up at slot receiver for USC. You know what I'm saying?
Like, because you think that they're a horrible school filled with rich fucks who I really hate USC.
Wow, you really do. I don't know where that came from. But point is,
you're not going to do it on principle,
things,
right?
We all love things that we shouldn't be allowed to do.
He is capable of making another good movie.
Really?
I believe so. I absolutely believe so. Yeah. I mean, if you see Tetra, I mean, it's not like some amateur is behind the camera.
Like, I'm capable of going to the sun someday. Like, I suppose it could happen. It's conceivable.
You're going to go to the sun?
If I hitched a ride, if I fell into a rocket silo.
Sunshine, great movies with terrible endings.
I just saw it.
No, you're never going to the sun, Brian. Francis Ford Coppola could make another good movie. He could. Actually, Twix is going to be awful. That's that one where he's doing there's going to have multiple endings. You don't know which ending you're going to get when you go in the theater. I believe that's the fucking movie. Yeah. Right?
What's more likely? I go to the moon or Francis Ford Coppola makes a good movie?
Twix. If that is the case with Twix, I believe it is. I can't watch that. That is
it's
really
not conceivable
upsetting.
That I would go to the moon someday. I think space tourism is going to be around in like 10 years.
Could be because they privatized it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could happen. Yeah. All right. Number one for you.
Twix, a writer with a declaring career, arrives in a small town as part of his book tour and gets caught up in a murder mystery involving a young girl. This is the one, Val Kilmer. Holy shit. Yeah. So it depends on like what time of day or which movie theater. Like, yeah. There's going to be different endings and stuff
yes,
to this movie.
I'm very much looking forward to that.
Do you know how upsetting that is to a completist like me? Like I'll come out of the movie. I'm like, I don't know if I saw half of it or some of it.
Oh,
you know what
you should do? You should completely avoid the film.
I'm going to do that. Val Kilmer, Bruce Dern.
All right. Number one for you.
L. Fanning.
Number one.
L. Fanning.
L.
Yeah.
El Ala.
It's the young one. Dakota.
Yeah. What?
Wrong.
Dakota is, by the way, our feature artist of the week.
Dakota Fanning.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, this one, actually, you know what? This is a possibility that we're going to have. Please don't have this as your number one. But he made one of my top three favorite movies of
very
all
unlikely.
Time.
Rob Reiner.
No. Well, okay, he started off really weak. I don't know if you've ever heard of a movie called Seizure.
No.
1974.
No.
It stars the little guy from The Plane, Boss, The Plane.
Tattoo?
Yeah, it stars Tattoo.
Okay. If we have the same number one, I'm going to fucking shit myself.
Then in 81, he made a movie called The Hand, and
no one did not take him seriously.
But then he made Salvador. Yeah.
Oh, he was a guy I considered. He was right here on my list.
Salvador he made.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know if you've seen Salvador. I don't want to say it holds up. It's kind of dramatic and a little bit dull at this point.
Tell the people who he is.
But James Woods was with Salvador. Very well-received movie. But then he made one of my favorite movies that I've ever seen in the theater, Platoon. Saw it at
Oliver
least
Stone.
13 times. Platoon. Is the greatest war movie ever made.
Why'd you say his name?
Because it's hard to say it. Because I used to line up and see anything he makes. But yeah, Oliver Stone, man. It's like, listen to this, Brian.
I agree. I was very, very close to playing on my list.
Listen to what he's made since Platoon. And there's some good stuff on here, but then I'll show you. He makes a hard left. It's almost like he had a kid and he saw the world differently or something. Okay, he made Wall Street after Platoon. Then he made Talk Radio.
Overrated, by the way.
Talk Radio is fucking great. Then he made the second part of his war trilogy, Born on the 4th of July, about the Vietnam vet coming home.
Yep.
Then he made The Doors, which I think is overrated. Should have been called Fat Dead Fat Guy in a Bathtub, like Dennis Leary says.
Yeah. No Cure for Cancer.
Then he made JFK.
Okay.
Another one of these.
Fucking love JFK, by the way.
Good movie. Good movie. Well received. Good movie. Heaven and Earth, which I really like. Tommy Lee Jones. This is the third part of his war trilogy, his Vietnam trilogy. Yeah. And this is the actual ballsy movie. It's, if you haven't seen it, check it out. It's worthy of checking out. I enjoyed it. It's the it's the Vietnam War seen through the point of view of a Vietnamese, North Vietnamese woman on that side, and she meets, of course, she meets Tommy Lee Jones, sure, who's an American vet. You got to have that angle. But, I mean, you get to see it from the other side. Then he made Natural Born Killers, maybe the most anticipated movie of my movie-going
career. Yeah, because it was Tarantino.
I couldn't wait for Natural Born Killers. I saw it in Hawaii, actually. I was on vacation with my parents, and I made my dad drop me off.
Downtown. Wow.
And then he came out with Nixon. And then, ironically, he makes a U-turn with U-turn.
Yep.
And I don't know if you saw a U-turn with Power Boost, but
– I never did.
It's decent. Yeah. It's okay, but you can. It's not really inspired. I actually see him with his headset on at the end of the movie in the car's glass reflection because he's getting a little bit sloppy.
He had checked out.
And Any Given Sunday, not a good football movie.
Oof, no.
Not a good football.
I always cringe when that shows up on sports lists, like best sports movies or whatever.
The Sharks.
Lists. Yeah. It's
other than the giant –
it's not great.
Black snake penis. In the locker room, there's really nothing memorable about that movie.
There's some good moments, but there's not a good film.
The giant wiener is all I remember.
My name is Willie. Willie Bean.
I still have not seen Alexander, but I did suffer through World Trade Center as well as W.
Yeah, I have the same. Yes,
and I will not see Wall Street. Money Never Sleeps, because I heard that people slept in the theater quite often and it was awful. Oliver Stone, you know, maybe you're a guy that should just kind of produce. Look at me. Hey, Oliver Stone, one of the greatest filmmakers of all time. Hey, Anderson Cowan is telling you should produce.
Yeah, now. Anderson Cowan here, Film Vault.
No, honestly, though, if anyone knows you, or please let him know.
Right? What if he's a huge fan of the show? What if he's crushed right now?
I know he's had a couple like near-death experiences. Like he and his kid almost drowned out in the ocean. I think something happened to his brain.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because he just does not
a lot
make
of drugs, right?
Yeah, he was a big partier. He comes out of He comes out of the Marty
McFly,
Scorsese world. Like there's a bunch of them actually that
Marty McSorley
started. No, I almost said that actually. Yeah, but it was all Woodstock. They all were making movies on like little 16mm.
Literally things. Woodstock.
Marty was almost on the list. You make another movie like Hugo, Marty, and you're on the list, but not yet.
But he just did something that was really, really good, right?
It was Hugo.
Oh, that's right.
God damn it. No, he hasn't made anything that I've loved since Gangs of New York. We're talking about Marty Scorsese.
Gangs.
But no, he's been off the list as well. Are you gonna finish this
number one for me? Oh, it's over between me and him. It's over. And also, you know what? Of all these directors on my list, my number one reached the highest highs together. We had the greatest times. They would show the montage of us. We're like skipping down the boardwalk hand in hand with like you know, hot dogs and corn dogs and you know, cotton candy.
You guys are in love.
Watching sunsets. Flashback scene. Now this is me flipping through a photo album with tears dripping onto the photo.
What is in this photo album? At least I talk about movies when I'm leading up.
Ewoks.
No.
Chewbacca.
Really?
Yoda.
Really?
George Lucas.
Oh, George.
It's over. It's over. I it's not just the Star Wars film. It's American Graffiti, 1973. And Lord American Graffiti. Star Wars. And,
but it's all. It's been a Star Wars since then. Has he done anything?
Exactly.
You seen THX 130?
No, I never saw it.
1138?
No. You ever see it?
Mm-hmm.
Any good?
Enjoyable.
I heard it was overrated.
It's not a movie about the future.
Right. Ryan.
It's a movie from the future.
Oh, my God.
That's one of the greatest taglines ever.
It was his directing ended with Star Wars in 1977. And he went 22-year hiatus. He followed it up with The Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith. Never again, George.
Kids ruined
never
him.
Again.
His kids ruined him. Really? You know, he makes the movies for his goddamn kids, totally, which is one of the ultimate power moves. Like, I'm going to take this giant budget of movie budget, and I'm going to, you know, make 2 hours of entertainment for my kids.
Yep.
If all of you want to enjoy it as well, you can give me money for
That's
it.
That's right.
But you're probably not going to enjoy it because it's made for my kids.
That's right. As long as they're happy,
apparently they're mentally challenged if they're going to enjoy Jar Jar.
That's terrible.
Apparently. But that is one of the ultimate power moves when you actually think about that.
I think
not having a chin makes you angry.
I think it was the aforementioned Patton Oswalt to put it best when he's like
another Patton.
He's like when he saw Attack of the Clones. He's like it was like getting molested by my favorite uncle again. And it was terrible.
For those of you who disagree with Brian and still love him, I believe that the 3D version of Episode One is out to a theater near
I'll
you.
I'll tell you what,
raping your ass
I may
as
still
we
see
speak.
It. I may still go see it.
I could see you doing that actually. Georgie Lucas. I just looked up George Clooney instead of George Lucas because I am not a smart person.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Same name game.
You seen that South Park episode with George Lucas?
No.
Where they go to sue him and get their money back?
Yeah, they go to Skywalker Ranch, right? Yeah.
Yep,
actually, that's one of the few episodes I have seen.
They say stop raping our childhood. Wow. Which is essentially not so much for me, because I mean, I love Star Wars as much as the next guy, but I didn't take it to the lengths.
Isn't he depicted as like a dwarf or something?
Pretty much. I mean, he didn't have shins. He was like the grandpa in King of the Hill.
King of the Hill. Logan.
Can we end?
I must have our listeners talk.
And I got some also rans as well.
Are we gambling too?
And we should gamble.
What are we gambling? Not?
We're doing the over-under on the Rotten Tomato scores.
We should work this out ahead of time.
We did.
Brian's terrified right now. Brian's like, don't expose me for not knowing things.
All right.
That's exactly what the subtext is.
Don't expose me for not knowing things.
Listener top five. All right. Number five, James Cameron.
James was on my also rants.
You know what, though? We're not broken up. I will see the next James Cameron movie for sure.
Well, it depends on what it is.
No, I'll see it.
Titanic 3.
I'll see it.
I will not.
I'll see it.
I see Titanic 3 because you know what? There's already a Titanic 2. It's a true story. There really is. Yeah.
Wow. Number four. George Lucas.
Yeah.
Who's that? Never
heard. Well, I'm surprised you got that many votes.
Yeah, you got a lot of votes.
A lot of votes, by the way, on our Facebook page, I noticed.
People love to talk about things they hate.
Cut him off.
Yeah.
Is that what's going on? I don't like to do episodes
We get more requests to do top five
shit
bad movies that are good or good bad movies or whatever, you know what I mean?
But this should be good though for you, Anderson, because this is directors you did love at one
point. I don't have a big problem with this episode. I have a hard time spending a lot of time researching things I don't like. I don't want to do that.
Gotcha.
You know? Sorry, there's enough negativity out there, man.
Number three.
You know what I mean, man?
Tim Burton.
Oh,
Burton, you're dead to me, yeah.
No, I'll
you know what killed it? One moment I realized he was dead to me, and that's Planet of the Apes. They're fucking hats. The hats that the monkeys wore in Planet of the Apes, I'm like, I can't do it.
A lot of people said that Planet of the Apes were their turning points.
He's got that. Yeah, but look at that. Those hats are so Burton. The hats are so Burton.
Number two, Kevin Smith.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Personal vendetta.
Nah, I don't know if I agree with that one, but because I like Red State so much.
Have you seen it again sober?
No, I need to see it again.
Yeah, because I think you're a little drunk.
You were
a little drunk. That's why you can't watch movies drunk.
All right.
I think Clerks 2 is on my most disappointing list way back in the day. And honestly, no matter how disappointed or whatever I might be by a Kevin Smith comedy, there's always going to be at least a handful of good jokes. Mm-hmm. So I'll go see a Kevin Smith comedy.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Number one, of course, is M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, I figured that was going to be one.
Also on the list for me was that Clint Eastwood.
Very
but
close
I feel
to
bad.
Clint. Very close
I love
to
you,
Clint.
No, you know, I'm still going to support him. I'm still going to see.
When I had no interest to see J. Edgar, I knew it was over.
J. Edgar? I saw J. Edgar.
Nope. No interest.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun watching cross-dressing old man DiCaprio.
Ollie Stone, almost on my list.
Cameron Crowe was on my also ran. Kevin Smith as well. Burton as well. Coppola as well on my also rans. Todd Haynes. He's coming back though. And he's a little obscure, but Velvet Goldmine is one of my all-time favorites. Yeah. Same with Safe. God, I love Safe. But Todd Haynes is going to come back.
Rob Reiner is almost on my list. I know you never wrote much love for him. But,
he's
Rob Reiner and fantastic Barry Levinson. Human being. Poor Barry Levinson.
Brian De Palma.
It's over.
Brian De Palma.
Oh, interesting.
Levinson only has one movie that you can really say is great though. Two. I apologize.
Didn't he direct Rain Man?
Yeah, Diner and Rain Man.
Okay.
Sleepers
wasn't great. You're right.
Sam Raimi, and then watch this. Tarantino before Bastards.
Oh, Bastards saved.
If Bastards
him.
Hadn't come. And then watch this. Rodriguez after Spy Kids.
No.
Rodriguez, not really jazzed about anything you're doing.
I almost put Ron Shelton on the list. The Wachowski brothers.
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah,
ever since the sex change.
Terrence Malick, the aforementioned Tim Burton.
No,
and,
Tree of Life.
Beautiful
film.
Oh God, Jesus
beautiful.
Christ. And also,
you just
shocked,
if you don't like
shocked.
Tree of Life, it's because you just don't understand it, man.
That might be why then. I almost put on Ron Howard. I looked at the list and I was like, wow, he's really falling off.
I like his daughter. She's good.
Yeah, Bryce Dallas is fantastic.
I saw a movie she produced actually. The latest Gus Van Sant movie, Restless. Do not recommend.
She's
I don't great. Recommend that. Don't watch it.
Thank you to our listeners for nominating films for our list. If you want to nominate films for our top five or top fives in general, go to AndersonandBryan.com. You get links to our Facebook, links to our Twitter. Oh, Logan, you want to do the stupid gambling?
Yeah, do you want to explain it?
Or way to sell it. Way to sell it. Look at the panic in his eyes. He's like, I may not be prepared.
The only thing I'm panicked about is we didn't talk about it before today's episode.
We have talked about it.
You know
before.
What? We'll do gambling coming up next week. Let's make sure it happens.
We're going to gamble next week.
You like
there
how
will
to
be
let
repercussions.
You off the hook,
I just want to make sure we're on the same page. Like when we wanted to work out the details of our family Christmas on the air. That would have been fantastic.
That was a great episode. People loved it. It started a war in the message boards. And I want war. It was awesome.
Links to our Twitter and our Facebook at AndersonandBryan.com.
Can we fit any more plugs?
I'm just kidding.
I want to do a show where it's just like 60 minutes of plugs and then 2 minutes of show.
I just tell people where to get information.
AndersonCowan.com coming soon.
Feed your goddamn head. Hey, speaking of the After Disaster, Tyler was on Miss Movies Minute. Find that on iTunes or hitterismovies.com.
Listen, Anderson and Brian, for sure this week, though, because we're going to post my link to my Vimeo only. No, it's YouTube and Vimeo, but a sex talk with Cuttlefish.
Yeah.
A sex talk over Cuttlefish. Some questionable language, but I enjoyed that.
You can watch it on Facebook video.
Can you? What is that?
I was just trying to make up another
MySpace video.
Another,
it's all MySpace video. Yeah.
That's a place for video.
But I took some time. It's the first thing I've done since my little dog video, so enjoy. And then the fart barf video is coming next.
It streams once on Ustream. That's it.
And only, you got it and I picked the time. I'm not going to tell you when, though. You just got to sit there and watch the page and wait for me
to push
play.
Sign up for alerts. Thanks again, you guys, sincerely, for all the Amazon support. We appreciate it. Keep clicking through at AndersonandBrian.com. And, that's about it. Anderson?
So I'll see you next week. And until then, doing it for